From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, I hope you've had a fantastic week, and welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at Family Research Council and President of FRC Action. Glad to have you on board with us today. All right, coming up on today's program, we begin with this. Vice President Kamala Harris delivered a speech earlier today in Raleigh, North Carolina, where she focused on the economy in what appears to be an attempt to reboot the Biden-Harris administration's economic agenda. This comes after 3 years of voter dissatisfaction with Bidenomics, which we've all watched as there was skyrocketing inflation and the possibility of home ownership was destroyed by many for many working families. But as former President Trump noted ahead of the speech, he said, if there's something that Harris could do with the economy, why hasn't she already done it?
Harris has just declared that tackling inflation will be a day one priority for her. It's going to be day one, but day one really for Kamala was 3.5 years ago. Where has she been and why hasn't she done it? Why hasn't she done it?
That's a good question. So how can Kamala Harris separate herself from an administration in which she served as vice president? I'll be talking about that with Joel Griffith, an economic research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, here in just a few moments. And after the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, did Google's search engine attempt to mislead Americans on what really happened? Well, there's been a number of congressmen trying to probe into that question, and we'll discuss it a little bit later in the program. And next month, we'll see the release of the latest film, the popular film, God's Not Dead. In today's socio-political climate, this is going to bring a message that's, I believe, absolutely going to resonate with people.
40 million Christians don't vote. And another 15 million aren't even registered.
Well, politics is a dirty business.
Yeah, so it's taking out the garbage. But if you turn your back to it, things start to stink.
Well, that was a clip from the film. The producer of that, Michael Scott, will be joining me a little bit later in the program to discuss this upcoming film. And then in our weekly worldview segment, David Clawson and I will explore how we can consider a number of the news items from this week from a biblical worldview, which, of course, that ought to be the goal for all of us as Christians. But among some of the issues is the emergence of groups like Christians for Kamala and Evangelicals for Harris.
We don't have to just pick the one issue that some men in power tell us we have to pick. We get to choose who to vote for based on our own values. And so when I get alone in that voting booth, I'm going to be thinking, who best reflects all around all my values as a Christian?
Well, that was from a video released by Evangelicals for Harris, and we will be talking about that, as I said, with David Clawson a little bit later in the program. So we've got a lot coming your way. As always, our website, TonyPerkins.com. You want to keep that website handy, as there's lots of information as well as archived programs there for you, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, this week, the campaign for Vice President Kamala Harris has worked to establish her economic vision while at the same time distancing her from Bidenomics and the failures therein to address the concerns of everyday American families. But given how light, literally, on specifics the Harris campaign's policy proposals have been, the question is, can voters really expect much of a departure from Bidenomics? Well, joining me now to discuss this is Joel Griffith. He's a research fellow for financial regulations at the Heritage Foundation. Joel, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always good to have you.
Thank you for having me. Always good to be on with you.
Well, thanks so much. All right, look, voters have expressed their dissatisfaction with Bidenomics. We all know that. How can Kamala Harris and her campaign, how can they now separate themselves from these policies when she has served as vice president the entire time?
Well, Vice President Harris can't separate herself from Bidenomics. And in fact, she continues to spout this propaganda about how wonderful our economy is. And I know we've talked about on your show many times, the fact is we've actually been losing full-time jobs over the past year, about a million of them. And families have seen around a 20% increase in the cost of living over the past few years. And if you look at some of the proposals that she's rolling out this week, it would actually double down on those Biden-Harris policies and make matters even worse. I mean, she's talking about price controls now, and then, of course, talking about a massive influx of more spending to the housing sector that we know families are already struggling underneath the burden of because of the high home costs.
Yeah, it's it really is stunning. So, look, you brought up a couple of good places to start. So let's try to walk through some of these major policy proposals coming from the vice president. And I'd like to get your thoughts on them. So you mentioned this. So that I think we've got the first ever, at least to my knowledge, the first ever ban on so-called price gouging for groceries and food. What about that?
Look, we know price controls do not work. And this has been tried in the past, but it's been a very long time here in the United States to solve broad-based price controls. You have to go all the way back to the Nixon era. And of course, it failed then. When you put an artificial cap on the cost of a good or service, what you end up with are fewer of those goods and services. You know, we saw price controls widespread, of course, during the Soviet era. If you look at videos from the Soviet grocery stores in the 1980s, you recognize, wow, these prices were set low, but you couldn't get many of the items. You had rotten meat, few food and vegetables. And of course, you see price controls right now in effect in places like Cuba and Venezuela on groceries. And guess what? They don't have much of a selection. But number two, when you see her blaming, when you see Vice President Harris blaming the high cost of food on gouging, that's an outright lie. And if you look at a chart of the costs to consumers of goods and services, and you compare that with the cost to producers of goods and services, you notice something very interesting. The prices that producers pay for their inputs have actually been rising even more rapidly than the prices that we pay. And what that means is that producers, including grocery stores, have actually been eating part of the rising costs of labor and items and not passing along all of that to us. If companies are being greedy right now, they're doing a very poor job of it.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm sure, no pun intended, that the grocery store owners have been eating the profits. But that's true. I think that's an outstanding word picture. And really, this would apply beyond just the grocery industry, if you will, the food industry, but even prescription drugs. I mean, the same principle applies, that setting caps does not work. Is that correct? I mean, this goes into the drug sector, pharmaceutical as well.
Yeah, and of course, that's big news this week because President Biden has been touting these new price caps that are going in on a number of medications that Medicare and Medicaid provide. And this is literally very dangerous. We've had a number of warnings in the past from pharmaceutical companies that putting in place these caps is going to result in less research and development going forward. In fact, a number of possible cancer medications have already been put on ice, and that's because the vast majority of drugs that are researched by these big companies, 90% plus, never come to market because they just actually aren't feasible. So these companies rely on the small percentage of successful drugs to basically finance the R&D for the vast majority of drugs that never come to market. So what that means to all of us as just regular Americans is that if we continue to see administrations put in place these price controls on drugs, they might reap political rewards, but what that means for us is that there are going to be fewer life-saving medications available for our loved ones as we get older.
Well, that's a frightful thought right there. All right, what about this one? I think this is one that some people say, wow, this sounds great, but a $25,000 subsidy for first-time homebuyers.
Yeah, this is a new one that's being rolled out this week. This is another example of flawed economics. We continue to see this administration put the emphasis on demand rather than supply. What I mean by that is if we go ahead and cut everybody $25,000 checks for a home, well, guess what? That's going to drive up the cost of those homes by roughly the same amount. Think of it the same way as if you had a government promise you, hey, we're going to give everybody $10,000 towards the price of a car. Well, that's going to result in the price of vehicles increasing. Guess what? It's going to be the lower cost ones that are going to increase the most. And this is a big problem in the housing market because the homes that have increased in the biggest percentage terms have been the starter homes. That's why a lot of families are getting priced out of the market. This is going to drive up homes even more, and it's going to add to inflation because we're going to be borrowing and printing all of those $25,000 checks. What the focus should be on is how do we increase the supply of homes? And we know how that's done because we see that being done in parts of the country that have better zoning restrictions, that don't have in place such onerous requirements on these environmental and lot sizes and everything else. That's how you produce more homes. But unfortunately, in a lot of the blue areas, especially of the country, you've placed so many restrictions on new home construction, environmental restrictions, public transit restrictions that have to be put in place in conjunction with these new homes. That's what's driving up the price of homes, along with the fact that we've had our federal government through the Federal Reserve buy up trillions of dollars of mortgages over the past few years. It's created a second housing bubble. This will make it worse.
Wow. Well, you know, President Biden's aides are out there, it seems, every day screaming about the success of Bidenomics and how inflation is coming down, all these kinds of things. But the reality is, if that were true, there would be some evidence of it, and people would be talking about that. The proof would be in the pudding, as Biden himself might say. Your thoughts?
Well, we know from data that it's very clear. This is not biased data from my organization or yours. This is data from the federal government that shows prices have increased by well over 20% over the past few years, and that indeed has outpaced the growth in income. We've seen a real income cut per family of more than $4,000 per year, and that's not even including the rising costs of credit card debt. We know that families have added on average $4,000 worth of credit card debt over the past few years. And if you look at the rise in interest rates on the debt, which have gone from 11% to 21%, the typical family is spending an additional $1,000 per year on revolving debt costs. So add that together, $4,000 a year real wage cut, plus $1,000 a year more of borrowing costs. And then if you factor in the rising cost of homeownership, which actually isn't factored in really in the CPI numbers, you see most families are actually suffering from closer to a $10,000 decline in real income if you add all of that together. It's a very real problem. It's a big part of the reason why polling data shows American families very sour on the economy at the same time that you see the Biden administration try to take these victory laps.
Wow. Well, Joel Griffin from Heritage Foundation, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the program again and breaking some of this stuff down to us. You know, it's one thing to tout how great Bidenomics are and try to convince people, try to get put forth a spin. But the reality is reality. And people are living in reality. And it's just a great honor to have someone like you who knows what's going on to be able to break it down. Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, after the break, why did Google manipulate autocomplete results relating to the assassination attempt of former President Trump? Well, stay tuned to find out. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at The Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and welcome aboard. All right, earlier this week, big tech behemoth, we can call it, Google, they admitted that the autocomplete search results regarding the assassination attempt of former President Trump, that all of that was prohibited by design, and that was part of the company's policy to prevent search results for what they said were hypothetical political violence against current figures. Well, it's disturbing to see yet another example of big tech interfering in the pivotal upcoming presidential election. So what can we make of all of this? Well, joining me now to uncover all this big tech interference is Craig Huey. He's the creator of the Huey Report and founder of Election Reform. He's an author. It's an honor to have him. Craig, welcome to Washington Watch. Thank you for coming on.
Jody, it's great to be with you.
Well, it is our privilege to have you. And wow, this is a big deal. We've had a lot of congressional members probing into this. Tell us how this revelation about Google came to light.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Elon Musk was one of the first people to bring it to light that, you know, when people were doing searches, they were getting searches that almost basically ignored or denied that there was an assassination attempt. And then you had searches where people would be trying to get Donald Trump, and really good stuff about Kamala Harris comes up. And it became such an intense, enormous violation of ethics and honesty that Google had to kind of apologize and kind of say, we're going to correct this. And they came up with their normal excuses. But, you know, here's the problem, Jody. This is not new with Google. Election interference now is on steroids. Every single election, they get better at it. And they are ideologically driven. They're someone who, you know, gets 90% of all searches go through Google. And what happens? Conservative, Christian, libertarian, Republican information, all that which is pro is probably 20 or 30 pages below, at least 10 pages below. Most people, 89% of the people, only will go to page one. Very few go to page two or beyond. And so conservative voices, Christian voices, looking for anything that Family Research has said. Anybody looking to see what, let's just say, World Magazine or a conservative media has said, you can't find it. But what do you find? You find New York Times, Washington Post, Newsweek. You find all the liberal press. Let me give you an example. If you were right now to go to Trump on student loans, what do you find? CNBC, Washington Post, Democrat.org, USA Today. If you go for Trump on Israel, what do you see? All the liberal press and what they say about it. And it's all negative. And if you go to Harris, all the liberal press saying how great she is. It's a matter of deception.
Wow. Yeah, it is a matter of deception. Totally yes. Agree. But it is a matter of election interference.
Yes.
And this is way out of line. What was Google's reasoning for manipulating the results on the assassination attempt of President Trump?
Well, the first thing they said was this was not human error, because it wasn't a human who made that decision. It was a programming. You know, and it goes back to the idea that, you know, they set up algorithms and they use AI to be able to determine something. But here's the thing with AI and the algorithms. It's a human who has programmed it, who has bias. And that's the problem that you have. You know, Google is one of the largest corporations in the world, one of the wealthiest corporations in the world, and one of the most ideologically driven corporations in the world. And with them, they made a pledge in 2016 when Donald Trump won his election. They'd never let this happen again. And that's exactly what they've been doing. So if you're doing Google, if you're doing Gmail, if you're doing Gemini, if you're doing Google News, it's all slanted.
Unbelievable. There's got to be an alternative. If there's not now, there has to be introduced an alternative. We only got a couple of minutes here left, but can there be an alternative to Google? I mean, as you said, one of the largest companies in the world, so powerful. Can there realistically be an alternative? And what role does Capitol Hill have in all of this?
So I've got good news for you. There has been a court decision that's talking about it being a monopoly. It's undermining it completely. And so they're in panic right now because they are now seeing that their monopoly, especially with their ad sales, may be in danger. But not only that, there's been numerous other things that they have been set back on. But everybody who's viewing this has a choice. They can go to DuckDuck. They can do some other thing, get away from Google. It's still going to be biased, but they can do that. They can get rid of Gmail. If you're in Gmail, they're censoring what you get in the mail. Get rid of Gmail. Don't get Google News. And instead of using a Gemini AI, use something else. Here's, Jody, here's the good thing. What has happened is Elon Musk is competing with Google. Elon Musk is trying to break the monopoly. And right now, people can start using some of his search products, and he's going to get up, and I believe that he will crush Google. That's my hope, at least provide an alternative. So there is hope. It's free market. It's not some bureaucrat trying to do something. It's not politicians who will do something that will actually be harmful to conservatives and Christians. It is actually the free market at work.
Awesome. Craig Huey from the Huey Report, thank you so much for breaking this down. By the way, I see your books behind you, The Great Deception, Christian Voter. I want to encourage people to check out the books by Craig Huey. He is a great, great voice. Thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch. Hope to have you back.
Thank you, Jody.
All right, friends, don't go anywhere. On the other side of the break, we're going to the movies. Bring your popcorn with you. We're going to be talking with Michael Scott, who's the producer of the new movie, God's Not Dead, In God We Trust. You want to hear about it? Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss. Welcome aboard. All right, next month is going to bring the latest installment in the popular God's Not Dead film franchise. It's called God's Not Dead, In God We Trust. It premieres on September 12th. What's so interesting about this is the movie is set in a time of political and spiritual upheaval, and the film is going to delve into the complex relationship between faith, politics, and our civic responsibilities. Wow. Could anything be more fitting than right now at this point in our nation's history, and particularly as we're heading into the 2024 elections? Well, joining me now to discuss this is Michael Scott. He's a founding partner and CEO of Pinnacle Peak Pictures and Pure Flix, and also the producer of God's Not Dead, In God We Trust. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate being on. This is awesome.
Well, listen, we're excited about this movie. The previous ones have been just fantastic. So tell us about God's Not Dead, In God We Trust.
Well, I think with the election season, everything going on, we've discussed so many topics around the subject of God and does he really exist? And is God dead or alive? And in this latest one, we really wanted to discuss the issues. Does God have a place in the public square? And should he be there? And that's what this film really discusses and goes throughout as you follow this pastor that's deciding what he should do. Should he take up the torch and run for office to stand for what he believes because he feels it's being challenged?
Wow. Well, I can't wait to see it. So much of my life is wrapped up in what you're talking about. What does the importance of this, let me put it this way, why is this film going to be important to audiences, to people all across the country?
I think the number one reason why is, you know, we did this. People of faith, you know, they're talking about, do I have a voice in this? What do I need to do in all this? And one of the shocking statistics that I learned from this is 40 million Christians don't vote in the election. And I think this is a film that's kind of a rally cry to that group to be able to say, hey, I need to stand up. I need to vote for what I believe in. I need to see my values reflected in the candidates that I believe that share them. And that's what this whole movie is about, that saying your voice can make a difference. Your vote can make a difference. And don't be silent.
Well, that is such a powerful message. We say around here at FRC all the time, the key words are pray, vote, stand. We've got to be engaged spiritually. We've got to get out there and vote, and we've got to take a stand for biblical truth. And by definition, that's what it means to be salt and light, right? I mean, it's impossible to be salt and light without being engaged. I mean, that's
exactly
the whole thing.
Right. And if we remain silent, you know, there's a phrase we've used in the trailers, you know, say 40 million Christians don't vote. If that continues, then we should prepare for one nation not under God, instead of under God, because we're letting our voice be silent. We're not engaging in what is an incredible opportunity to vote for the people that share our beliefs and what this is all about, and to be able to see that. And I think this film does such a good job on explaining why you should be involved, what it means to be involved, why it's important. Does God have a place for it for you in this? And also, this goes back, this film dives into, you know, what was this country founded on? How did it really start? Was this a Christian nation to begin with? We tackle some of those really hard issues in here that people are getting challenged on and trying to change, I think, and, you know, trying to change the truth of what really happened.
Well, I think it's fair to say this is not going to strictly be a political film, but certainly there's going to be some significant political themes that Correct. Run throughout this alongside of inspirational and hope-filled spiritual truth. But tell us about that. How is this all intertwined?
You know, it's all the God's Not Dead movies. We always have a message in there, but that message is always wrapped around entertainment and something that you can really engage in with these characters. So we have a lot of returning characters. Pastor David, who is played by David White in this movie, is the character from all the other God's Not Deads that comes through, and he's the main lead character. We have Dean Cain returning from the first one, who plays a bad guy, and he does an incredible job. He continues his role as the bad guy. We have Isaiah Washington. We have Ray Wise. We have Mike Huckabee. We have a host of different people in this movie, some of them returning, some of them new. And so I think it's a movie that you're going to get to the characters that you've come to love or maybe hate because they were the bad guys. You're going to get to see them carried through and how this message really plays out and why David's compelled to action, that he feels like the guy he kind of goes up as the opposite candidate is Ray Wise from the second movie, who was the lawyer that basically was trying to defeat the teacher in the first one, who was standing up for her beliefs in the classroom. And he's coming back saying he's kind of running on a platform that wants to stamp God out of the out of government. It doesn't have any place there. And David feels that Pastor David's character feels that is unacceptable and stands up to run through that. So you're going to get to see all of these incredible things play out, the emotions, the different pieces of it. And you're going to learn some incredible things through this movie.
Real quickly, where can people go to find out more about God's Not Dead and God We Trust?
Go to godsnotdead.com. You can get tickets now. They're on sale. It goes nationwide in theaters on September 12th. We'd love everybody to get out. I think this is a movie that people can share with people across the board. Get people involved.
Got to leave it there. Michael, thank you so much. Michael Scott, producer of God's Not Dead, In God We Trust, coming up September 12th. Much more Washington Watch coming your way right after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation. bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon, and again, welcome back to Washington Watch. I am your Friday host, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you with us. All right, just a couple of real quick reminders before we move on with the program. We've got a petition that you've probably heard of by now. It's going to be sent to President Biden and the presidential candidates. It's all about supporting Israel and where do they stand on the issue of Israel. And to help add power to that petition, we're asking for you to jump on board and sign it. You can do so by one of two ways. You can either go to the website, frcaction.org/support, or you can simply text the word support to 67742. And for those of you who either yourself or someone that you know may be asking, why should I be praying for Israel? Why should I be standing with Israel? Well, again, we've got a brand new resource by Tony Perkins. It's called Why We Must Pray For and Stand with Israel. And you can get a digital copy of this. We want you to have a digital copy, and you can have one of your own with a gift of any size to FRC. So come on board and help us out a little bit and get this extremely important resource. You can find out more by going to and texting the word Israel to 67742. Again, simply text the word Israel to 67742. All right. Now, although Congress is out of session right now, they're on their August recess break and getting ready for the upcoming election. As a result, Washington, D.C. is obviously a little bit more quiet than normal. But there has been absolutely no shortage of news this week. I mean, we have all watched multiple issues that have gone down. In fact, we've had a challenge this week trying to figure out which one of these do we talk about. And as Christians, we want to produce within ourselves and to share it with you how to have a biblical worldview about all these news items that are dominating so much of our lives and our thought. Well, earlier this week, for example, we had a major medical association that came out against the transgender ideology. And then this week, we saw the emergence of groups like Christians for Kamala and Evangelicals for Harris. So again, how should Christians think about these stories? Well, joining us now with our weekly worldview segment, biblical worldview segment, is David Clawson. He's the director of FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview. David, always great to have you on the program. And boy, we've got a lot to talk about today.
Happy Friday. Great to be with you, Jody.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, so we've got a lot of stories. I'm just kind of bouncing off a couple of them. So let's hit this first story. I think a little bit unexpected, but we did talk about it on Washington Watch this week. And that is the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. They broke with the dominant transgender ideology, and they stated that their organization opposes the unscientific consensus that obviously is prevalent in other professional organizations. What's your response to all of this?
Yeah, my response is one of excitement. I see this as good news. As Christians who, again, Jody, want to come at these issues from a biblical worldview, the biblical worldview could not be more clear that God's intention and design is that we are created either male or female. There are not more than two genders. This whole transgender ideology that our culture has run with is diametrically opposed to what Scripture teaches. So when anyone in the culture affirms that truth, Jody, I think that's a good day. That's good news. And this particular story, this Association of Plastic Surgeons, they do represent 92% of all the board-certified plastic surgeons. And so I think this is exciting. This is good news. Perhaps maybe this is a tipping point. But what is interesting, Jody, is that this kind of news that we're seeing, the rest of the world is already a little bit of ahead of the United States on this. I'm thinking, you know, just last year, Dr. Hillary Cass's bombshell report came out about how a lot of these procedures that are being done to minor children are harmful and unscientific, and they even shut down that infamous gender clinic in England. And so this is exciting, but it's still worth noting, Jody, the United States is an outlier. The fact that we are so permissive when it comes to puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and even surgeries for minor children.
And certainly this is one of those issues you don't want to be an outlier on. You want to be taking the lead. And, yeah, I agree with you. I think this is one of those potential domino effects. I mean, look, we all know when it comes to so many of these professional medical associations, almost all of them seem to fall in line with the immoral revolution of the LGBT community. Do you think that these plastic surgeons perhaps could be, as you say, a tipping point, a domino effect? I think the possibility is there. Do you?
I think the possibility is there. When you look at some of the other professional associations, the two APAs, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, you know, people are looking at those groups. Maybe they would fall in line. You know, Jody, I hope so, but I doubt it. You know, those are organizations that in 1973 completely reversed themselves on the nature of homosexuality. You know, one day this was a disorder that needed treatment. The very next day it wasn't. And, you know, the politicization of so many of these professional associations. And, you know, the truth is, Jody, there's big money involved. If you can code for your insurance, counseling and other things related to these types of issues, it's going to be hard to see some of the big professional associations falling in line or following suit, I should say, with the plastic surgeons. I'm hopeful, and especially so, Jody, as the rest of the world, there's not a country in Europe that now advises the so-called transgender surgeries for minor children. Again, the consensus is beginning to emerge outside the United States that what we're doing is actually barbaric and unscientific. And so let's continue to follow this and track this. My hope is that the rest of the world will, again, start putting good pressure on the United States to fall in line. But again, Jody, the ideology, the activists are strong. So wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, well, we certainly will wait and see. But, you know, the plastic surgeons, they're on the tip of the spear. this whole issue, that having the surgeries is one thing, but following the surgeries, plastic surgery is required. I mean, you got to fix a mess, the created as best you can. So hopefully this significant change will produce. We'll see. As you said, we'll keep a look on it. If I can't switch gears with you, David, I mentioned in the intro of this segment the emergence, if you will, of groups like Christians for Kamala or Evangelicals for Harris. I want to play a quick clip for you and get your response. If we can, let's hit clip number 6, please.
We don't have to just pick the one issue that some men in power tell us we have to pick. We get to choose who to vote for based on our own values. And so when I get alone in that voting booth, I'm going to be thinking, who best reflects all around all my values as a Christian? Nobody gets to decide that for me. That's solely my decision, and I get to vote based on my values.
Okay, let me kind of set this up to you with the real heart where I want to go with this. I mean, seeing that this has come from Evangelicals for Harris, that's the organization that put this out. I mean, what she just said is true. Yeah, but seeing that it has come from Evangelicals for Harris, the assumption here is that we have to believe that they believe Harris best reflects Christian values.
Yeah, that's right. And the, one of the groups also put out a television advertisement, Jody, playing a clip of Billy Graham and then kind of trying to criticize President Trump on his beliefs and religious commitments. You know, it's interesting, Jody, and what the lady said in that clip, it's true. All of us, of course, as Americans, have that constitutional right that we can vote for whoever we want to according to our convictions, and praise God for that right that we enjoy. But, Jody, I think when it comes to Evangelicals for Harris, and this is just, I think, the latest reiteration of what used to be the Biden for Evangelicals organization, you know, it goes back to conversations that you and I have been having for weeks now. Again, for Christians, we believe the Bible has spoken. There's a thus saith the Lord on really clear issues. And when it comes to issues the Bible speaks to, the Harris Walls campaign, Jody, is on opposite sides of Scripture. The abortion issue, you and I have already talked at length in previous interviews on Kamala Harris voting when she was a senator for against providing protections for babies who survive botched abortions. She voted against providing protection for babies who can feel pain in the womb. Tim Walz, of all the Democrats Kamala Harris could pick in the United States to be her running mate, she chose Tim Walz, the person who signed legislation last year that legalized abortion through all 9 months. This is the same governor last year who gave the courts gave them the right to temporarily take custody of children whose parents won't allow them to go through with, you know, these horrible gender surgeries. And so, again, the Bible is actually really clear on those issues, life and sexuality and our bodies. And I just think when Christians go into the voting booth, we need to look at the two candidates. We need to look at the two parties. We need to look at personnel. And ultimately, Jody, what does God's word say on really clear issues? And we need to see where the candidates line up on that and then vote to the best that we can approximate biblical justice.
Yeah, and so much of the, I mean, we saw, perhaps most of us didn't see it, but we saw that it reported at least that these Christians for Harris, Christians for Kamala, whichever group it was, they had a virtual meeting, and in the meeting actually used Matthew 25 about loving your neighbor and all this sort of stuff, really as an excuse to let them do whatever immoral behavior want to do. That's what they interpret love as being, as I perceive. So what's your response to this taking and twisting of Scripture, bringing forth some sort of Scripture to use as a theological argument to vote for unbiblical principles?
Yeah, and it is right to call it that. It is a theological argument, Jody. I don't think it's a good theological argument. I don't think it's love of neighbor to slaughter your unborn neighbor in the womb through all 9 months of pregnancy. I don't think it's love of neighbor to support policies to chop off the genitals of healthy minor children. I don't think that's love of neighbor for a whole host of these issues. And so, of course, I want to be clear, Jody, neither party, neither candidate is perfect. But the Harris-Walls ticket is really now campaigning on issues that are diametrically opposed to biblical morality. And again, I think that's why those of us who look at God's word and want to understand God's word for what it says chafe when we see scripture misused and distorted like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we think about this upcoming election, and it is, man, it's getting closer and seems rapidly just right around the corner. But we received some news this week, and we talked about that there's a couple of other states now that are going to have abortion directly on the ballot. What's the latest on the effort to put abortion on the ballot? And how are you, how are we encouraging Christians to think about these referendums?
Yeah, very briefly, Jody, as of right now, there are 8 states where abortion in some way is going to be on the ballot this week, Missouri and Arizona. They were able to certify, they had enough signatures to have these abortion amendments. Don't have time to get into the details of every one of these, Jody, but for some of these states, people are going to have the opportunity to vote. Do they codify abortion in the state constitution? Some of the other, in other states, they're going to be voting on whether to allow abortion to be codified in their state constitution through the second trimester. And so the states, Jody, are Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, South Dakota, Missouri, Nebraska, Florida, as well as Maryland and New York. Citizens in all of those states will have an opportunity to see a ballot measure. And the threshold is different in some of those states. In Florida, they need 60% to pass an amendment to change the Constitution. Other states, it's only 50% plus one. And Jody, the warning is, you know, wherever abortion has been on the ballot since Roe v. Wade is overturned, the pro-abortion side has won. That shows me that a law is inherently pedagogical, and for 50 years, Americans have been told that abortion is morally permissible. That was the logic of the Roe v. Wade decision. And what we're finding is that a lot of people who maybe told us that they were pro-life or even thought they were pro-life have voted the wrong way on a lot of these measures. And so the work of education, the work of coming alongside our friends and neighbors and reminding them what abortion really is, and how these ballot measures affect it, that's the work all of us have to do from now until November.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot of work to do and a lot of states where that the work needs to be done. I wish we had more time, David. I would love to get into the Democrat National Convention that's taking place in Chicago next week, at least a portion. We don't know how accurate in terms of being a final version, but their proposed party platform was released, and there's a lot of concern there. Real quickly, maybe 30 seconds or so, do you have an opinion about that, what you've seen so far?
Yeah, I was able to review the preliminary draft, and it's a massive document, 80 pages, Jody. What's two things very quickly, 930 words on abortion. It's the longest statement we've ever seen in a party platform on abortion. And when it comes to LGBT rights, it's a full 2 pages of so-called policy prescriptions. And so a lot to unpack. We'll, I'm sure, get into it later, Jody. But it is shaping up to be one of the most extreme platforms we've seen in modern American history.
Surprise, surprise. And at the same time, the Republicans, as we saw, had problems with their platform as well. On the other side, thank you, David Clawson, director of FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview. Always an honor to have you on to discuss this.
Thank you, Jody.
All right. Have a great weekend. And that goes to each of you. Another week in the books here at Washington Watch. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Be sure to meet in church somewhere. Keep shining. And we look forward to being with you again next week. Have a good night.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.